Hello to everyone. I'm Albert Dikovic, the coordinator of the Eberle Research Center, European Cultures in a Multipolar World. And I'm happy to welcome Oksana Dovkopolova from Odessa here. She's professor at the Department of Philosophy at Odessa National University, Mechnikov. And she is also actually, she came here from Odessa. She wrote a PhD on the principles of tolerance in context of the spiritual culture of transitional epochs, wrote a habilitation on the metaphorical scheme of the mastered space of life, the places of the other alien rejected. Her main fields of research, or field of research, is culture of remembrance, most specifically the topics of reconciliation through historical memory, the role of art in memory culture, and also the anthropology of time. And another field of expertise is the regional Jewish experience in Odessa. And Oksana also is an associated researcher at the Holocaust Memorial Center Babin Yar in Kiev since 2018. Oksana is very active in the field of what we call artistic research. For example, as a co-curator of the exposition Trees of Memory, They Saw Everything, which took in Gdansk, which took place in Gdansk, where she explored the notion of plants and nature as a witness of history. She's also a member of the Past Future Art Platform, which carries out commemorative research and art project, and has, in that context, for example, co-curated Land to Return, Land to Care, which is an artistic research lab on war experiences. And she also contributed to the curatorial project Reconstruction of Memory, which treats the experience of refugees from Crimea and Eastern Ukraine after the Russian invasion of 2014. Different projects and fellowships led her already to Germany, Norway, to Lviv, Western Ukraine at the Center for Urban History, and most recently also to Austria as a non-residential fellow at the renowned IWM, the Institut für die Wissenschaften für Menschen, where I came across her work. And she had also several collaborations with the German Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the field of memorial culture and reconciliation, as well as with the German NGO Forum Ziviler Friedensdienst, which she was searching for practices of reconciliation after the traumatic events in Odessa of 2014. And one can thus legitimately call her also a peace activist. She has been involved as a scientific advisor in the application of Odessa for the inscription in the UNESCO World Heritage List. And we now can all congratulate her for the success. And she has been interviewed recently, or in the past few months, by international journalists, as I found out, as an expert on Odessa. For example, by Roger Cohen, who wrote a very beautiful article for the New York Times about Odessa. Or also Michel Echaninov, the author of a really good book about the political philosophy that drives Vladimir Putin. And so now we are glad to learn from her, expertise here in Constance. And I leave the stage to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Albert, for introduction, and thank you all who gathered here to speak about topics important for me, about Odessa, about a city in Ukraine, which now is in situation of war. And for me, it's the first trip abroad from Ukraine from the beginning of full-scale invasion. So all this time I spent in Odessa, And it's a wonderful experience for me now because I appeared in normal life and it's very pleasant. I'll try to share my my thoughts, my ideas about city mythology of Odessa, which they're affected with the full-scale invasion and with the war. When I speak about mythology, I use this notion, the notion of myth, in sense of stable narratives about the past. So I use myth not as something something false, yes, but as a stable narrative about the past, which lays at the ground of city identity. So now we see in Odessa some transformations. And to understand what transformation, I will divide my speech in few parts to try to demonstrate the situation of these myths, of these narrations, which developed for a very long period from the end of 18th century. And I will show what moments, what knots of these narrations now appeared reloaded under the situation of invasion. I will show you a few pictures. I think it will be pleasant to look at the pictures of Odessa. So Odessa. Very shortly, Odessa is a Black City port city, which was refounded at the end of 18th century at the place of old Lithuanian Turkish city Hadžibey. The Greek colonies developed here from the 5th century BC. Now, here you see the excavations, archaeological excavations, at the very center of Odessa. So Odessa, the contemporary city of Odessa, is situated directly on old Greek cities, so it's nearly impossible to provide excavations because it's in the center of the city. But our archaeologists organized something, and here you see these excavations. So. Greek colonies, later region appear the place of interest of Italian, Moldavian, Lithuanian merchants, and it was a part of Golden Horde. So Golden Horde controlled this territory, and here you see the coin which was found in this excavation from the previous slide. Archaeologists found very different things, artifacts from different regions, because it was a point where different trade ways interconnected. The ways of Ukrainian Chumaks, salt merchants, Armenian Jewish entrepreneurs crossed here for centuries. It was nearly a normal line of city history from 15th century on the place of contemporary Odessa. And here you see the first notion about Kochubeyev, the city which existed before Odessa on this place. And the first notion is what was made in description of the events of 1415. So there, and what event it was? It was the trade expedition from Kochubeyev to contemporary Istanbul, to Constantinople. And so why I speak about it? Because it was a grain expedition, and it's very important to understand what is Odessa. Just a moment. Here you see Kotchubey, the city of Kotchubey, the map of 18th century. So it was known, and people lived here on this place without gaps, practically without gaps, from the 15th century. So Greeks in 5th century BC, they gone, and this territory was empty for a while. And from 15th century, people live here constantly. At the end of 18th century, Russian Empire conquered this territory, the northern Black Sea region, and they renewed the life, reloaded this city. They destroyed the fortress, the Turkish fortress, which existed here on this place, and built an absolutely new city. So Odessa was re-established. This city was re-established and with the name Odessa. At the beginning of its development inside Russian Empire, Odessa community was multinational and multilingual. The first lingua franca was Italian. And Italian colony was very significant in at the beginning of 19th century. Really, Italian was absolutely understandable language at the beginning of 19th century, and everybody understood it. And first architectures of Odessa were mostly Italians, Francesca Boffo, Francesca Frappolli, Torricelli, so the wonderful architectures, I will show their works. They were Italian, and it was a great community. The first city governors were Spanish, Josef Derribas, Jose Derribas in Odessa. His name was changed to Josef to be more understandable, and other wonderful, famous city governor was French, Duc de Richelieu. And it is mirrored in the map of the city. The main street of Odessa is Deribasovskaya. It's devoted to Jose Derribas, the first governor. And here is Deribasovskaya at the beginning of the war. When we waited for invasion, and now we are happy to see the Deribasovskaya free again without all these devices. But in March it was such. And here you see the city signs. Deribasovskaya Street and Street Richelievskaya Street is devoted to Richelieu, and they are most important historical persons for Odessa. And the main streets in Odessa has the names of Deribas and Richelieu. So here you can stay at the corner of Deribasovskaya and Richelievskaya. It's very important for the heart of people in Odessa. And the first monument in Odessa is the monument of Duc de Richelieu. Here is it. It was opened in 1828. And now it's a center, it's a heart of Odessa, and it's a center of sense axis of the historical center of the city. The monument was made by sculptor Ivan Martos, and it's really the favorite point and favorite monument for people who live here in Odessa. At the beginning of the 19th century, the Dutch engineer Frans de Vollan created the plan of the new city at the place of destroyed Haji Bey. Here you see this plan, and it's important if we will read the title of this plan. It's a plan of the city Haji Bey. It's not a plan of Odessa. So when de Vollan created this plan, the name of Odessa hadn't existed. It was, so he used the title Haji Bey here, but he saw the absolutely new, brilliant European city, and he was inspired by late Renaissance ideas of ideal city, and he tried to imagine this ideal city on the bank of the Black Sea. And really, this plan, we can see, I will show it slightly later, we can see this plan at the map of contemporary Odessa. And Odessa, from the very beginning of its existence as Odessa, from the end of 18th century, from the beginning of 19th century, it appeared a territory of opportunities for representatives of different nations. It was the third city in the world by the number of Jewish population after New York and Warsaw. We had big Greek, Bulgarian, Polish, Italian, German, Swiss, Albanian, Armenian communities existed here. And what is important, all these communities, they're visible in public space. Russian imperial politics of social division in context of so-called titular nation, so Russian Orthodox, this politics was extremely reduced in Odessa. Jews had right to obtain high education in Odessa. It was not important in other cities of Russian Empire. So with the limits, but they had such right. And Odessa Institute of Fine Arts, the people who studied in this institute had right to enter St. Petersburg Academy of Arts. So for Jew, it was absolutely important. The only opportunity to enter the St. Petersburg Academy of Art was to go through the Odessa Institute of Fine Arts. So it was absolutely exclusive situation. Odessa was the first city in Russian Empire where a Jew appeared a member of aristocratic club. The English club, here it is, the English club in Odessa, now it's a building of Maritime Museum, was the first public organization in Odessa. All positions there, here in English club were elected. It was an aristocratic club, where the member of which was Jew. A very important point noted by memoirists, including guests of the city, is the more democratic style of the aristocratic saloons of Odessa. It looks strange, but aristocratic salons of Odessa, they're something like democratic. And what was the reason for such situation? The reason was the ethnic diversity of of city community. When the people of different natures and different languages, different religions lived in one public space. The researchers emphasized the special non-Russian character of the city, and this vision was common for Russian Empire, so they looked at Odessa as for something alien. As something alien, as a city of sin, as a city of commerce, a city which don't think about something spiritual. The phenomenon of Odessa as European and multinational city is clearly reflected in urban structure, where different ethnic communities have layered and shaped parts of the city over times, according to the influence of their own culture of origin. Intellectuals, businessmen, entrepreneurs, professionals gathered in Odessa, which led to formation of numerous colonies favored by central government. So the situation appeared with this such structure, and the central government of Russian Empire reacted for this. And in 1813, the proclamation was published listing the rights and privileges of colonists and foreign merchants. The city thus assumed a cosmopolitan character in a short time with a heterogeneous population. The names of the streets reflect this situation. So we have a district named by people from Moldova, Moldovanka. We had French and Italian boulevards, Bulgarian street, Greek street and Greek square, Jewish street, Polish, German streets, Arnaut, so Arnauts, there are Albanians. The simultaneous presence of churches of different different creeds we can see on one street in Odessa. So Yekaterininskaya Street was a street where we can see the churches of very different creeds. By the middle of the 19th century in Odessa, the idea of equality of confessions, radically new for Russian Empire, was well implemented. It was a very strange city. The initial stage of formation up to the mid 19th century, there was a unique situation with Odessa being the city, the only city in empire, where national minorities were not only visible, but actively participated in equal footing in the formation of public agenda. You understand, it's not a unique situation. For example, Luzdorf, it's a district of Odessa, the former German colony, resort place, and now it has the same name. Visibility and active participation in public space reasoned not only activity inside Odessa, but activity directed for outside. And it's very important for me that projects of national states were invented in Odessa, inside Odessa. So here you see the picture devoted to Filiketeria. It's a Greek secret organization which prepared the revolt for Greek independence. And really, Greeks who come to Odessa, they know that it's a cradle of Greek independent state. This secret organization worked here in 1814, and the Greek independence started from 1821. It's maybe a step inside, but I saw in I know about the existence in Sydney in a restaurant, a Greek restaurant with the name 1821, and under this restaurant is Bar Odessa, with the portraits of the heroes of Filiketeria, and they connected, and it's very symbolic to have such representation of these memory. And Odessa was the center of one of the centers, very important centers of Zionist moving, the moving of Jews to create their own national state. And here you see the picture of Lev Pinsker, author of Auto Emancipation, the book which explained the necessity of creation of independent Jewish state. And near, it's a portrait of Zev Jabotinsky. It's a mural in Odessa. So now we see this picture in our public space. And Zev Jabotinsky, for many people, this name is equivalent as a name of a political leader and a political activist. But for us in Odessa, he's writer. So the most important that he's writer, and the most brilliant novel about Odessa, The Five, was written by Zev Jabotinsky, and it's extremely brilliant text. And I hope that you will read it, because it's a great pleasure, really. So for us, he is a writer, but we understand that he is a political leader too. The multilayeredness of Odessa region is seen in words, in toponymics, sometimes in very special way. Before Russian Empire conquered the northern Black Sea region, we know that Turkish and Tatar people lived here and lived here for many ages. And for example, we have such a small city, Shabo, near Odessa, not far from Odessa. Many people think that it's something French and try to say Chabot, and we said, no, it's not Chabot, it's Shabo, because it was a Tatar village, Aha Abag, which means the lower gardens. And at the beginning of 19th century, this former Tatar village was settled by Swiss community of wine growers. So when Russians came, Tatars went out from this territory, and their empty villages were resettled by other people. And this Swiss community use this name, but they pronounced it in their own way. And so from Ha'abak, we received Shabo. And the authentic sort of grape from Odessa region with the name Tsiltsikuruk, here you see the growths of this grape. It's a Tatar word, and it was it's really authentic, and it means the fox tail in Tatar. So one of the directions of our work with memory in Odessa region is cultivating this part of heritage, this part of memory, because we have no people who can take care of this layer of our history. So when we tell about Tsiltsikuruk and in Shabo they produce the wine with the same name, it's one of the steps in the direction of protection of this memory. So different layers, different languages, different religions, cultures, and as a result, the city conceived as a new city of Russian Empire turned into a city of freedom, of initiative, of business. Such an image of the city is noted by many travelers. Sometimes one can see the similarity of Odessa with United States, with American West. For example, Mark Twain, the writer Mark Twain, expressed such thoughts when he visited Odessa. When he went by Odessa streets, he felt himself as at home in America. The uniqueness of Odessa, of development of Odessa urban phenomena, is connected with the center of the city. The normal cities grow from the places of power, the places of governor, the court, something like this. Odessa had a symbolic center in theater. Odessa Opera House was built at the very beginning of Odessa existence. Now we have the second opera house in Odessa. The first was perished in fire. It was very sad, but people in Odessa understood that they can't live without Odessa, without theater. And now we have this opera house, which was built at the second part of 19th century. When European cities grew up from their center of power, Odessa grew up from the theater. And Maybe it's important because theater is a space where different people meet one another, where is no separation for language, confession, or something. So people were equal here in this space, and this space, the opera house space, was the most important for Odessa. For example, one more step inside, I said about this brilliant novel, The Five. of Zeev Žabotinsky, and this novel is starting with the scene in opera house. And the main heroes meet one another here in opera house. I must say that at the beginning of the 19th century in Russian Empire, opera houses were only in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, and in Odessa. And Odessa was a testing place for European opera companies who came here. So they came from the beginning to Odessa, and if it was all right, they moved further in Moscow and St. Petersburg this way. From the Odessa was first. If we have no success in Odessa, they go home because they no chance. It was really such a scheme, and it was Italian opera. Italian singers came here, and it was city with money, and it was absolutely normal for artists and singers come here because here they can have success. And such situation of multilingual. I will show you this. It's a hall of Odessa Opera House. Such situation of multilingual existence, coexistence of different communities, common visibility, and so on and so forth, existed till the middle of 20th century. After the Second World War, maybe slightly later, Odessa appeared a monolingual city. What happened? Happened Soviet political repressions. In the 30s, in 1937, it was such a tide of political repressions and operations, national operations of so-called national operations of Soviet government. It was Polish operation. It was the Polish operation was the most powerful. The most powerful in the whole Soviet Union, and Odessa had a great Polish community, and they hit it very importantly by Odessa. Greek company. So Odessa lost Polish language, Polish people. Odessa lost Greeks. So after the Second World War, after the Holocaust, the Odessa Jewish community was reduced. It was not vanished, but it was reduced. The German-speaking communities, it's understandable that they went away in the period of Second World War. German community on Odessa was great. It was the whole districts in the center of the city inhabited by Germans, but together the Germans, Swiss communities, I spoke about Szabo, and Swiss community from Szabo partly fled and partly appeared the victims of political repressions. After war, Jewish community in Odessa was quite numerous. Part of it was saved in evacuation, part appeared military, men in Soviet army, and returned home. But after war, Soviet policy of anti-Semitism launched with the creation of Israel deprived the Jewish community of the languages, both Yiddish and Hebrew. For the first time in its history, Odessa appeared monolingual. It appeared Russian-speaking and monolingual. In the 80s, I met in Odessa old people who told, we spoke in our yard in four languages, and it was normal. So in a contemporary language of people in Odessa, we have some words from Yiddish, and sometimes people don't understand the origin of these words. They think that they speak Russian. For example, my my colleague in Odessa University told me that he was born in Moldovanka, such a district in Odessa, and he told me that when he became a student, he understood that the word bikitser is not Russian. Because he spoke Russian, he knew that he speak Russian. And if everybody in his yard understood the word bikitser, it's quickly in Yiddish, he was absolutely sure that it's Russian. And he was very surprised that other people don't understand him. So we have some words which we use in our language, but Odessa appeared in Soviet time, not in all Soviet time, but in the second part of 20th century, it appeared Russian speaking. And this situation was used by Russian propaganda during last decades as a mobilizing resource to prove that Odessa is Russian city. Odessa is Russian city. They speak Russian. They all speak Russian. We have no other languages in Odessa. So if Odessa is Russian speaking, it's Russian city. And they all, we are sure, say Putin, that we are waiting for our army. He was mistaken, but it was used in Russian propaganda. Odessa was one of the aims of Russian annexational efforts in 2014, and it was the last point of so-called Russian Spring spread. So Odessa stopped Russian Spring in Ukraine. The development of Odessa as a city in independent Ukraine raised several questions in context of working through the imperial Russian and Soviet past of the city. The regional identity of Odessa is an important part of Ukrainian city, Ukrainian collective memory. Russian aggression against Ukraine from 2014 and especially after the February of 2022 made the question of Russian narratives quite traumatic. The two ways of problem solution was proposed by the different actors in field of collective memory. The first, to clean the public space from Russian traces, absolutely, to take them out. And the second way, to reboot the city's mythology in context of European and multicultural picture. So the picture of anti-imperial city inside Russian Empire looks very productive, for me especially. I said that I stayed in Odessa from the beginning of Russian wide-scale invasion, and I worked with the topic of city identity, and I interviewed people in Odessa on the topic of perception of city's past. So it's my focus, so I work with this topic. I compared the optics of those who stayed in Odessa, who were in evacuation, and who returned after a few months of evacuation. The analysis of the content of public discussions on topic of presence of signs of Russian Empire inside the city For example, the monument of Russian Empress Yekaterina II. So it reveals the points of transformation in the Odessa collective memory. The first weeks of the war conjured up the memories about the Odessa siege of 1941, when the Romanian troops stayed at the porch. I will show you the collage, which was created in at the end of February last year, and it demonstrates this feeling of déjà vu that we now again the siege. We're waiting the enemies in our city. And in 1941, Odessa was conquered and it was occupied and was in occupation till 1944. And it's very, very painful page in collective memory because of very different memories of different communities. So Jewish community remembered the Holocaust. And other communities remember their prosperous life under Romanian occupation. And it creates such problematic moments. The image of Odessa defense of the beginning of so-called Great Patriotic War, it was 1941. So the picture of city defense was intensively reloaded. It's a very important part of Odessa collective memory. It's a part of collective memory defense, which didn't cause any discussions, any problems. The people of Odessa were comparably all agree about the meaning of this event. And now I see that the Second World War is symbolically completed in minds of people of Odessa. What do I mean? When I asked people about, especially refugees from Mykolaiv, from Kherson, who came to Odessa, and many people in Odessa are volunteering, and they bring something to the line of the war. And they see constantly the Russian troops, and people say they tell something. I saw people there. I saw Germans. Oh, they are not Germans. They are Russians. And during the first months, it was the constant topic because the war, the Great War. Was a picture from Soviet movies. And in Soviet movies, we understand who is our enemy. And now this page is closed, really, because they have absolutely other war and absolutely other catastrophe. I speak so long, I'll try to be more concentrated. The second focus of the walking through the past in context of the war appeared. The topic of presence in the public space, the monuments and sites of Russia and Soviet Empire. And I can say that Odessa reloaded during the last year. It reloaded its topographical landscape, and many names of the streets connected with Russia, they took out because people immediately noticed that the Russian names are very numerous, because if you live in this space constantly, it's usual, it's normal. But in situation of Russian attack, people look around and say, look, we have many, many streets named after there are some Russian people who have no connection with Odessa. What's happening? So, for example, medieval princes like Alexander Nevsky, Dmitry Donskoy, we have streets with the names of these people in Odessa, which was created at the end of the 18th century. What does it mean? It means the imperial policy, really. And Odessans saw this. It appeared absolutely obvious, because many people spoke about it earlier, but others say, "Ah, oh, don't mention. It's usual for us to have this street. We don't want to have the problems with renaming. Okay, let's leave the situation as it is." And now, during last year, people say, "No, let's change. Let's change. We don't want to live on this street with this name." It's not so. Some people are very radical and they want to clean out all the space. And some others say, look, if this person made something good for Odessa, we ought to fix his or her place in public space. For example, Pushkin, Russian poet Pushkin, he spent a year of his life in Odessa and wrote wonderful lines about Odessa. And okay, he, in his letters, told to his friends, Odessa is absolutely other than Russian Empire. I have no opportunity to find Russian book here. It was real situation. He came to Odessa, he wanted to buy a book in Russian, and it was impossible. It was very easy to buy a book in French, in Italian, but not in Russian. And say, sorry, I didn't find these books. So, for as a decolonizing gesture for Odessa, as for me, it's very good to place these words at the monument of Pushkin, to show, look, the son of Russian poetry said, Odessa is not Russian city. So we had many, many triggers in the public space, which were changed. The scandalous and very loud process was the relations of Odessa with the monument of Empress Ekaterina, which stayed in Odessa for a couple of decades till 1920. The Bolsheviks moved it out, and it was reused in 2007. And it was the new monument. It was the replica of this old monument. So it's not, this monument has no historical value. It has no any value. But it was, as we suppose, it was created for the money of such organization, Россотрудничество, Russian collaboration. I don't know how to is the normal English name of
cooperation.
Russian cooperation. So I know it only in Russian, yes, Russian cooperation, such an organization which supported Russian culture in different countries. And they had great money to erect the monuments of Pushkin, for example, in any corner. And so in Odessa, they worked with the monument of Yekaterina. And in May and June of 2022, the two petitions to President of Ukraine were created simultaneously. The two petitions. One petition, one demanded to take the monument from the public space into museum, and other to replace it for the monument to porn actor Billy Harrington. Asked about the reason of Harrington's proposal for the place of Empress, they answered that he has the same attention to Odessa as Yekaterina. It's all the same. We can place every person. This December of 2022, the monument was moved to Museum Place. And now the pedestal is empty and appeared there. This space to artistic experiments, which we will see. I ought to finish, and I, so here is, I forgot to show you this monument, it's Yekaterina, and the first picture is the picture before 1920, before it was removed by Bolsheviks. And here is a contemporary, near is contemporary monument, which is not on this place now. Here is the map of historic center of the port city of Odessa from nomination dossier for inscription in the UNESCO World Heritage List.